The reading is from Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 56. Settle in. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. Now many saw them going and knew them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You can give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples go into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, and they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and they moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, and ran about the whole neighborhood, and began to bring sick people on their pallets to any place where they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and besought him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. The word of the Lord.
It's hard for me to feel the fear in this story. I've heard it so many times, read it so many times, heard the sermons, preached the sermons. It's really windy. The disciples are afraid. Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are afraid. Jesus gets in the boat. The wind stops. They get to the other side and get out, and some healing happens. But really, there's fear all over this text. There's fear all over this situation. Jesus and his followers have just heard about Herod murdering John the Baptist, Jesus' mentor, friend, cousin. They cut his head off. And furthermore, they've heard that Herod thinks Jesus is John the Baptist raised from the dead, so now they assume Herod is after Jesus. When Jesus hears this, he tries to go into hiding. He quietly leaves in a boat to a deserted place. But people heard that he was leaving and they follow him. So the deserted place fills up with a huge crowd. And instead of hiding out, he teaches the people all day. And then he feeds them a miraculous meal. But when everyone's finished eating, he sends his disciples away in a boat. Then he dismisses the rest of the people and he goes up into the mountains by himself to pray. So maybe he was not running away to hide, but he does want to be by himself. He doesn't want the disciples around. Why? Maybe to protect them? If he's going to get caught, if Herod is after him, he didn't want the disciples to get caught with him. Or maybe he just needed time to think or pray. I don't know. Jesus only goes off by himself to pray twice. Once is here, and the other is right before he actually gets caught and arrested. Jesus thinks this might be the end. Jesus thinks that he is about to be arrested, maybe killed. Evidently, the disciples are thinking the same thing, because when they see Jesus coming toward them, walking on the water, they think it's a ghost, Jesus' ghost. They think Herod has found him and killed him, and here is his ghost coming after them. And they can't be blamed. They are in the middle of a giant lake, 3 miles from either shore, and there's a big storm. The wind is against them, it says, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and they haven't slept. They've been up all night after a lot of hard work, feeding thousands and thousands of people. Sure, Jesus turned 2 fish and a loaf of bread into enough food to feed 5,000, but you never hear about Jesus coming up with some extra help to serve and clean up. No, that was all them, just the disciples. Then after that, Jesus sends them off, before the crowd even leaves, like they better get a head start or something. It must have seemed kind of ominous to the disciples. They hurry down to the boat and cast off and start rowing, and they're rowing. And then the storm comes up, and the wind is against them, and they're battling the storm, and they're taking turns rowing, and they're bailing out water, and they're a little punchy from staying up all night and working so hard, and they're frazzled, not thinking clearly. And then there's a flash of lightning. I added the lightning, but it seems implied. There's a flash of lightning, and that's when they see Jesus walking towards them, his hair blowing around, robe whipping around. It's a ghost, someone yells. Where? There, on the water. They all look. They scream, it's a ghost. They've done it. They've killed him. It's a ghost. They are afraid. Afraid of Jesus. Afraid of ghost Jesus. They drop their bailing buckets, and they drop their oars, and they hide, all squished together, pressing themselves into the bottom of the boat. 12 grown men, each trying to get lower than the other, pulling tarps over themselves, trying not to make a sound, not breathing. The boat gets slammed from the waves. The water is still coming in fast. They're being turned around by the wind. Is he still there, one of them asks? Is he still there? One of them peers over the side. I don't see anything. I can't see anything. A wave hits, water everywhere, the wind, lightning flash. The one peering over throws himself back down to the bottom of the boat. He's still there. He's coming closer. He's coming right for us. They are afraid of ghost Jesus, overwhelmed by fear. Jesus is coming for them. I'm trying to think if I've ever been afraid of Jesus, afraid of God. I mean, have you? I don't know. I guess I should probably throw in the Holy Spirit, too. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a ghost, right? I don't know. I don't know if I have. I mean, I am afraid of a lot, that's for sure. I'm afraid of a lot of things, mostly people. I'm afraid of people and death. I'm not afraid that people will kill me. I'm not really afraid of people like hurting me physically. That kind of thing doesn't really scare me. I'm mostly afraid of them judging me, thinking I'm bad or stupid. I'm afraid of people like saying bad things about me or not giving me a loan, you know, or saying like, well, you should have thought about that beforehand, shouldn't you have? Those are the kind of things I'm afraid of. Is that weird? Is it weird that I'm not afraid of someone trying to hurt me physically or threaten me physically, but I'm afraid of somebody chastising me? I guess it's not that weird because it's much more likely that somebody will chastise me in my everyday life than they will hurt me physically. I'm privileged. Yeah, and I'm afraid to die. Most of the time. Sometimes I'm not, but a lot of the time. I'm also afraid of that thing, like, you know, that existential, like, you know, when you think of the endlessness of the universe. You've ever had that? You've had that, right? Where you think the Earth and all the planets are in the solar system, and the solar system's inside the galaxy, and our galaxy and all the other galaxies are inside the universe, and the universe is inside of what? What? It's not inside of anything. It just keeps going on forever. How can something not be contained by something? How can there be no end? It's so vast, it's claustrophobic. And have you ever thought, you know, like, what if you were in space and you had to do a spacewalk to fix the space station, and then your tether broke and you just floated off, and you would just keep floating off until you, like, ran out of air? And then your body, your dead body, would just keep floating off forever in the same direction. It would literally never stop. That really freaks me out. That really scares me. Or like, you know, in the Bible, you know, I believe, like, okay, in the Bible, one thing I don't get. I mean, I totally believe all the miracles, of course, the resurrection. But you know, when Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples watch him disappear up into the clouds. Where does he go? Where does he go? You know, because I don't believe that heaven is up, like it's a physical place that you could get to. Jesus, I mean, does he keep going up and up into space? It makes me think that, like, my one hope would be if I ever did take a spacewalk and my tether breaks and I float away forever, that I might float by Jesus. But how freaked out would I be then, right? I mean, I would already be so freaked out, utterly scared beyond scared. And then I see another person floating toward me. How would I even know it was Jesus? I don't know what Jesus looks like. Unless, of course, he looked like the Sunday school pictures of Jesus with the robe and the beard and long hair. But still, that could be anyone, right? I mean, everyone looked like that back then. It's not like I would recognize Jesus' face. And to see someone floating towards me without a spacesuit on? I mean, I don't think he would have a spacesuit on. Because, like, where would he get it? They didn't have spacesuits back then. I would totally think it was an alien. Even if it looked like Sunday school Jesus or had a spacesuit on, I would still think it was an alien coming toward me. And I would be so scared, I would probably, like, have a heart attack. I would try to, like, float myself in the opposite direction of an alien Jesus coming towards me. Sorry, I guess I've left the story a little bit. So they're in a boat. They're in this boat, and one of them has just peered over the side to see if they can still see Jesus coming toward them, and the lightning flashes, and he sees Jesus coming. Jesus is coming, walking on the water. You know, it wasn't that long ago, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I preached Jesus and his disciples were in a boat. Also, they were in a boat. Do you remember that? They were in a boat on the water in a storm. Just not too many chapters ago in Mark's gospel. In Mark's gospel, there are boats on the water a lot. And they are afraid a lot. In Mark's gospel, there's water and there's fear. You know, in the gospels, the other gospels, like Luke, they go out on a boat on the sea 6 times. Matthew, 8 times. In Mark, they go in a boat out on the sea 18 times. And fear, the gospel ends with the word. The women left and told no one because they were afraid. The water and fear, they go together. Literally, literarily, metaphorically, mythologically. In many different cultures, the creation myths of creation of the world in their creation myths, the world is formed out of the teeming water, out of the sea. In the Egyptian creation myth, the earth rises out of Nu, which is the name for the teeming waters, but also means chaos, the abyss. The idea is almost universal, that the creator forms the world out of the chaos, out of the abyss. The Hebrew creation story that we find in Genesis begins in the beginning when God created the heavens and earth. The earth was formless and void. It was chaos. And darkness covered the face of the deep while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. First, God separates the light from the void, from the chaos. Then God separates the land from the teeming waters of chaos. Water is the symbol of fear in so many ancient mythologies, because what goes on beneath the waterline is almost completely unknown to ancient people. It is the abyss. We don't even know today most of what goes on under the ocean's waterline. We don't know what goes on down there on the ocean floor. Scientists know more about space than they do about the depths of the ocean. And we know what happens if you go into space in a movie. Almost nothing good. There are monsters. What is that alien, the tagline from Alien? In space, no one can hear you scream. Fear. Unknown. Fear. In the time of Israel's greatest chaos, the time of Israel's greatest fear, when Pharaoh's armies are pursuing the people of Israel, trying to stop them from escaping Pharaoh's slavery, God gives Moses the power to command the chaos. Moses commands the primordial abyss, the metaphor for unknown fear. Moses parts the sea, and the people of Israel walk through on dry land, and the chaos of the sea envelops Pharaoh's armies behind them. The disciples are in boats on the water so much in Mark's gospel because Mark's gospel is written in very chaotic times, times of great fear. Rome had completely destroyed all of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was reduced to rubble. The temple where God lived was completely destroyed. So people were afraid. The whole world was in chaos. The whole world in chaos. I mean, can you even imagine a situation like that? Sure, Washington's not in rubble, but we have chaos all around us. Not only around us, but internally in our own lives. It's not an overreaction to be worried, overwhelmed, afraid. So much is unknown and out of our control. But the lightning flashes and we see it isn't a ghost coming towards us. It's that which overcomes the chaos and overcomes the fear. It's the love of God. It's God's mercy coming to us, walking on the water. We can stop bailing. Love and mercy is overcoming the chaos.